So what do you do if a stock drops a lot? Now, that happens quite a lot, of course, in a world which is volatile in many ways. Just as you get massive upside moves like Meta going up 250% in a year, or Nvidia 250% in a year, or Meta 33% in a day. Of course, the downside of that can also happen with companies. When is it right to panic, and when is it right to say, well, actually, I don't need to? So let's have a look at some of this. First of all, let's look at why it might happen more and more. Are companies more volatile than they used to be? To some extent, yes. But like I showed you, or like I just already said with previous examples, that volatility can be to the upside, which we never complain about, as well as the downside. Maybe there's more flow of information, things are more interconnected. Whatever the reason is, a bit like the weather, global warming in the case of weather, there are more extreme movements, and the data shows that. Okay, but the answer is not what we're conventionally taught in 1960s textbooks on portfolio management, which is therefore make sure you've got next to no money in any individual company, just have 1,000 companies so that if any one of them falls, you won't be so impacted. Actually, the reason we know that's nonsense and the implementation of it by fund managers is nonsense is this. A typical fund will maybe have 100 stocks, and of those, most of their capital end up being in the top 10 holdings. And they will say typical impact of any one of the top 10 holdings on the overall portfolio of those top 10 holdings will be about 2.5%. If one of them drops before they'd exit, it'd probably hit their fund by about 2.5%. Well, actually, if we've got 20 stocks and we've put equal sums into each of them, and one of them drops 25%, not from the highest it's been since we bought it, but let's say we bought it and the very next moment it dropped 25%. Well, you can do the maths. You've got less impact than a massive fund has on your overall portfolio because you've got 1/20th, because you've got 20 stocks, 1/20th, and you've got 25% stop loss on those. So actually, you've got 5% of your capital in a company and it's down by a quarter. So it's quarter of 5%. Slightly over 1% is the impact on your overall portfolio. That's not too bad. Make it less than that, and when the stock goes up, it's not going to have much impact on you on the upside. So that's the first thing. So the answer isn't, oh, let's just spread it amongst more companies necessarily. Of course, the answer is make sure the companies are solid and you've done your due diligence. So let's look at Zscaler as an example. Now, this has been hit. I got an email just now from a great investments program person, said, hey Alpesh, this has been hit because Palo Alto Networks, which was not one we ever picked, because we said, look, we've missed Palo Alto Networks rises, it's overbought, don't want to get in. Also, I've got a theory. If ever any of my friends are CEOs of companies and they've been on the front cover of a magazine where it says billionaire, then short the company. Especially if I've been on the board with them of a company. And that's happened now with Fisker. It's happened with Palo Alto Networks, and it's happened to another dear friend whose company wasn't listed, but sadly he passed away in a plane crash, of all things. And it's, I don't know, it's don't get on a magazine called and have them call you a billionaire. So Zscaler, okay, what Palo Alto fell for whatever reasons, not one of our stocks anyway, and it's had this impact. Well, for me, when would I worry? Well, my overall rule is if it drops 25% from the high since I bought it, then I'd look to sell. Well, has that done that yet? No. So I'm not panicked anyway. And we also know that in an upward trend, this can move 20%. Look, it did it there. Okay, so we know it can do that. But we also know it can move 30%. So wait a minute, where's the line? And we also know it can move, my lord, look at this. Okay. By the way, I always try and use retail platforms when I'm teaching you all of this stuff, so you can copy it. That's 80%. Well, there's got to be some line where we're going to get out. Now, for me, it's really straightforward. Generally, seatbelt, if it drops 25% from the high since I bought it, then I'd look to get out. But if I was worried sooner than that, I would determine, is the monthly MACD rising as it is here, as it was there? If that's the case, I keep to the 25% rule. And as you can see, it dropped 19 and then it started rising again. Similarly here, I'll wait for the 25% rule. But if it's overbought like here and Meta was in 2022, for instance, then I won't wait for a 25% drop from the high. It might be a 10% drop, but let me put it this way. If it's falling, and there's a 10% drop, I'd be very worried. If it crosses the signal line like there, then I'm definitely looking to get out anyway, no matter what. I don't care whether it's 10% or 20%. I don't wait for 25%. Okay, and if it's 25% from the peak and these things haven't happened, then I also get out. So whichever happens first. All right, so that should help clarify things. There is one other element, that's data based. What I could do is say to you also, there is research to show that if a fall is based on hard news, like we've missed our earnings figures, then the initial fall is likely to continue. If it's based on soft news, such as, well, we're doing fine, but the industry as a whole, somebody else in the industry didn't do so well, then it's more likely to recover. Okay? That's more opinion subjective, judgment based. So you might not want to use that as a method, because I like all methods to be scalable and replicable. And that one really is a bit more difficult to judge. So I thought I'd give you that explanation of how I see things at the moment. The bottom line to all of that is, I certainly can't see into the future, but I can have strategies which allow me to do what I think is optimal based on how the future might turn out. Okay, thank you.